All right. So, guys, we're going to get right into this. We'll just get as far as we can get. But it was, I think it was Tuesday morning this week. I was up early praying and spending time with the Lord. And this phrase just came to my mind. And the phrase is this title of the sermon this morning, Endued with Power. Endued with Power. And immediately, Neil said, okay, well, that's Pentecost, right? That's what the Lord is. It's a phrase that's referencing Pentecost. Amen. If you guys don't know what Pentecost means, I always thought it was some really spiritual word, like it had some kind of really cool meaning. It's just a number. Do you know that? It means 50. That kind of lets some air to your balloon, doesn't it, a little bit? But Pentecost, so in where the word comes from, is from the Old Testament, where the Hebrew people were delivered from Egypt. They traveled into the wilderness to worship the Lord, and it was 50 days from the Passover feast. So the first Passover is when Jesus tells the Jews to put blood over the doorposts because the Lord was going to visit Egypt and kill the firstborn. Amen. And the instructions from the Lord is, if you put blood on the doorposts of your house, that I will pass over that house. I will not visit it with death, right? That's where the term Passover comes from. So they get delivered from Egypt. They travel 50 days. It's 50 days from the Passover when they go up to Mount Sinai. 50 days. It's Pentecost. Amen. So when Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples, they're celebrating Passover, remembering that the Lord passed over the houses with the blood, and it's 50 days from that supper when the Holy Spirit is poured out in the upper room, Pentecost. Pretty good, right? Yeah? That was all bonus, man. That's all gravy. So, as I pondered this thought on whatever morning it was, for a few minutes, I sat there early, up early, getting up early. I got my 3-year-old is like, she's up at 6 a.m., 100 miles an hour. Praise God. She's healthy. I try to be thankful for something, you know. So now it's like I'm like the 4:30 a.m. guy again. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. But it's the only time I can get some peace and quiet in my house, spend some time, right? So as I'm up real early, got some coffee, trying to wake up a little bit, and this thought comes to me, endued with power. And then I sit in there, the Holy Spirit, this thought comes to me this, endued with power to do what? Right? Just boom, as clear as I'm talking to you right now, endued with power to do what? So I sat there for another minute or two, and then another thought comes to me again. It says, think about, in church, I've never thought about this. The disciples are already casting demons out and healing sick people. Because I've been preaching this a lot lately, and it's in Francis Chan's latest book. He talks about it quite a bit, that people started following Jesus, and it was a very short period of time goes by before he gives them authority to go out two by two, casting out demons, healing sick folks, right? They're walking in the raw to the dunamis power of God, right? Over darkness. Can I get amen? So the truth there, it's a powerful one. It's important. You don't have to be a mature Christian to have authority over darkness. You just got to get born again, and you got power over darkness. Boom, just like that. Can I get amen? You can be a Christian for 5 minutes and cast a demon out of somebody. Amen? So as I started pondering this, right, and due to power to do what, they're already casting demons out, right? So it's not that necessarily. Can I get amen? It is that, right? Because they don't have that power. It's not in them. It's on them. You understand, right? Jesus gave them authority. He could take that authority back, right? It's not in them. Jesus says in another spot, he says the Holy Spirit is with you right now, but there's a day coming he's going to be in you. Right? So when the early disciples are cast on demons out, they're with the power of God. It's not in them. You understand, right? So in Pentecost, does that power come as an indwelling power? For sure, right? That's a brand new experience. Can I get amen, right? That's what we experience now. The Holy Spirit comes on us. He's not just on me, he's in me, right? But, church, this is what the Lord said to me as I sat there. It was probably 20 minutes. I sat there just waiting and praying and listening to the Lord. This is what he said to me. The power to become the church. right? The ecclesia. Not a church. Not the power to become a church. The power to become the church. The power to become the body of Christ, right? The power to become one, even as Jesus says, I pray that you'd be one, even as me and the Father are one, right? This power to not just demonstrate it outwardly, right? Cast demons out, heal sick people, raise the dead, all that's powerful, man. We need that in the church. But man, it's the power to overcome the stuff that gets in us, the stuff that's in us already, as we heard a few minutes ago about communion, the stuff that's in there because we're sinners, because we're born into sin and iniquity, right? The stuff that's in me, when the power, when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, it was not just the power to demonstrate the kingdom of God, but it was the power to live out the kingdom of God relationally. You understand? In church, and again, I'm on this, man, I've been on this for weeks. The Lord said to me so clear a couple months ago, I forget when it was I preached it, but it was a sermon called The Same Spirit. And he said to me so clear, he said, son, you need the same power of my spirit to love people as you think you do to do the stuff you think you need the power of my spirit to do. Right? If somebody came into church and they're slithering on the floor like a snake and hissing and their eyes are rolled back, we'd be like, man, we need the Holy Ghost to show up now. Right? Because that's like, whoa. You know, or if somebody comes in and they're like, look, I got stage 4 cancer. They gave me a month. We need God to show up for sure. We know that. But he's saying, look, you need the same spirit to work out a friendship that honors me. You need the same power to have a marriage that looks like what marriage should look like, which is an earthly representation of Christ in the church. He's not saying, like, look, here's what marriage should look like. Good luck. He's saying you need the same resurrection, dunamis, life-changing power of the Holy Spirit to forgive people that offend you as you do to raise somebody from the dead. Right? And what's happened in the church, I'm just convinced of it, is that we've fallen back on, because we're prideful. Americans are real prideful, man. We're terrible. Western culture, can I get amen? Go tell an American they can't do something. Boy, they'll get, whoa, don't tell me I can't do that. I'm an American. I can do anything. Well, yeah, you can, but anybody can do anything if you know Jesus, man, because you can do anything because of him, not because you're an American, because you know him. Can I get amen? So in the scripture that this is found in church is Luke 24. I'm just going to read one verse here, verse 49. It's all the way at the end of the Gospel of Luke. He says, behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, it's King James that says endued with power from on high. Endued. E-N-D-U, not dude with power, endued, right? Amen. Maybe God does like King James Version better because that's how he said it to me. I don't know. But think about this, man. The Greek phrase here, to be clothed or endued with power, it means, that this is literally what the word means, to sink into like a garment. To sink into it like a garment. Right? And as I was studying this, I looked at that. It was a couple mornings ago, real early again in the morning. I was looking at that. And boy, the Holy Spirit just struck my heart. And I literally, church, I almost started crying at my table and my desk in my house. And I was like looking at it because what I saw immediately was like this mantle, right? Because that's what it's talking about. It's like it's this thing that God says, Paul talks about it, to be clothed yourselves with Christ Jesus, right? It's a garment, it's a mantle, it's an anointing, it's authority, it's power. Can I get amen? You look in the Old Testament and the old prophets would wear cloaks and stuff, and that represented their power and their mantle, right? So, but it was like what the Lord is showing me is he says in America, particularly in America, because we're so prideful, we try to force our way into things. We're trying to force our way into positions. We do it. Look at corporate right now, man. Corporate America is a disaster. All right? There is zero honor there anymore. There's nothing, man. It's like as long as you get where you think you want to go, it doesn't matter how much destruction's in the wake. right? As long as the ends justify the means. There's this phrase, right? Can I get amen? There's no loyalty in companies anymore, either up from the top down or bottom up, right? There's none. We just employees bouncing all over the place because they're scared that the company won't take care of them, right? I'm always looking out for number one, man. Got to take care of me. Bled right into the church. Church is full of it, man. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to do me. I'm going to take care of me. I'll make sure I get mine done. I'm going to make sure I get mine. Make sure I do my thing. But the Bible tells us the opposite of that. To prefer your brother above yourself. Honor someone else. Don't think too highly of yourself than you should, but honor your brother and sister, right? Prefer other people. Build them up. Right? Amen. So as I was looking at this, what I saw, church, was like this. God's saying, look, the mantle that I've got for you, this power that you want, that you can be clothed with, is not something you can fight your way into. It's something you've got to surrender into. You've got to sink into it like a garment, right? It's about dying to me. I got to die. Is that good? Because you know what? When Mark starts kicking a little bit too much, Mark's mantle and the mantle of God are not the same thing. They fight each other. Can I get amen? Come on, right? You catch yourself, you want to say something, or you do say something. Hopefully we're getting better at catching it before we say something, right? But you say something, you go, you, man, I shouldn't have said that. Right? And that's the Holy Spirit saying he should have been listening about 9 seconds ago. Right? I'd have told you not to say that. Amen? Or whatever it is, right? Do this, look at that, right? It's not the first look, it's the second one, right? The first look's innocent, it's when you look again. Right? The second. Amen? Right? So do you understand, church? And let me explain this to you because I was really grinding on this yesterday. Because I started immediately thinking about guys in the Bible like Peter, right? We all know Peter. Peter's this really brash, bold, rough guy, you know. Jesus is like, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to die, and this is going to happen. And Peter's like, no way, right? That's not going to happen to you, Lord. I won't let it happen. Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. Ouch. You know, if you actually read that, that's like literally 6 verses after Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, you're the man, dude. You got that because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. 4 verses later, Jesus is calling Peter Satan. Literally, church, okay? That tells you how fast we can go from getting a huge revelation from God to completely falling flat on our face. Right, that shows you how quick your flesh can kick back in. Is that right? Come on, anybody done that? Been there, bought the T-shirt, got the Blu-ray DVD combo pack, right? I mean, come on, man. Like, you just, man, I was doing great, and then pow, flat on my face again, right? So Peter's this really bold, you know, dude, the guys come, he takes a sword out, cuts this guy's ear off, right? Jesus is like, bro, you don't get it, man. That's not how my kingdom's coming. Oh, church, listen to that. Jesus says, that's not how my kingdom is coming. It's not coming in violence. Well, Pastor, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violent and violent taken by force. Okay, there's one verse that says that, and there's a whole lot of other verses that tell us to be gentle and to be kind. Can I get amen? Sometimes we need to contend in the spirit. We got to fight in the spirit. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, right? There is spiritual darkness that is in this town, church, right here, that oppresses the move of God. That's what we got to fight against. Amen? We fight against the devil. You can't fight your way into God's blessing. You got to die into it. Right? Peter goes from this brash, abrasive, aggressive, like just shooting from the hip, man. He's like a guy, like if you made a modern movie about Peter, he'd be a guy that would just walk into the room with a big machine gun and just shoot everything. He's like, well, I hit something. Yeah, but you wasted like 1,000 rounds, bro, to hit nothing. He's just reckless. Can I get amen? You understand? He changes from that, and it's the place that he's broken is when he denies the Lord. you're going to deny me. Peter's like, there's no way, man. I just cut that guy's ear off. There's no way. I'll die with you, Jesus. The Bible says he wept bitterly, right? And Peter becomes this man who is humble and meek. And the Bible even talks about it. It says Peter gets told how he's going to die. They're going to take you away in chains. Oh, man, right? Think about Paul, right? Paul, same thing. Paul is a bold, brash, aggressive, violent man, right? He thinks he's serving God. He's persecuting the church. He has an encounter with Jesus on the road. Man, and does he change? My goodness, right? He goes from this brash, right, rah, to this humble, meek, I'm going to submit to you. Peter is, church, do you realize that Paul goes on mission for 15 years straight? The guy's on the mission field, right? Plants churches all over the place. Thousands and thousands of people get saved, healing, signs, wonders, miracles. Paul goes back to Jerusalem, goes back to Peter, who's done pretty much nothing at that point. He writes two books. Paul's got like 15 of them, all right? Peter's like on vacation half the time, for crying out loud. I'm just being facetious. We don't know what Peter's doing, but you know what I'm saying. Peter is in Jerusalem. His job is to preach to the Jews. That's what the Bible says. Can I get amen? Paul is the one assigned to go to the Gentiles, right? He's out there in the with all the heathen and all this other stuff. Can I get amen? He spends 15 years in the mission field. He comes back after just ridiculous success, and he says to Peter, I'm submitting what I've done for 15 years and because I'm afraid that I've labored in vain. Like, say what? Can you imagine, church, one of us, just any one of us, going on the mission field for 15 years straight? We plant 1,000 churches. There's 50,000 people get saved. I mean, there is fruit. And then we come home and somebody says, you know, I think you're a little bit off. Man, would we be offended. Can I get an amen? Right? But see, Paul, you understand what I'm saying? Paul has such a radical shift in his approach that he's willing to have Peter say, what you did was wrong. I'm submitting what I did to you. Is it okay? Isn't that powerful? Ready for another angle on this same concept? See, because I see that easy because that's not my natural personality. I'm not naturally an aggressive person, right? I'm more like the, it's all good, bro, you know? I'm like a surfer. Hey, what's up? Hey, yeah, cool, yeah, whatever. Like, that's just me. I'm like, whatever, bro, cool. Don't worry about it, you know? And so, you know, so as I was thinking about this, of course, because it's easy for me to see somebody who's very aggressive and say, oh, you need to be gentle, right? But the Holy Spirit started saying to me, yeah, but son, I don't need your natural ability to be gentle. That's not what I'm looking for. Church, you got to hear what I'm saying right now, okay? Because God is rarely going to use your natural personality in the kingdom. He's going to bring upon you something that's foreign to you, something that causes you to get out of your natural ability because you know what? If he uses who you already are, you're just going to rely on yourself. So this is yesterday, and the Lord started, I'm all fired up. Oh, yeah, Peter, he was a jerk. Paul was a jerk. Ah, this is going to preach so good. Holy Spirit's like, yeah, well, we got to work on you too, buddy. He says, you're so afraid of conflict, and you're so afraid of being the leader I've called you to be. You're so afraid of this, and you're afraid of that. And I was like, wow, this feels so good. Praise God. And it was funny, I remembered as the Lord was spanking me a little bit. I remembered years ago preaching in our church saying, I'm not afraid of anything. Yeah, the next couple years wasn't very pleasant. Praise God. Isn't that so good? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? See, what God's saying here, it's this mantle, this power that we're clothed with. We've got to sink into it. We've got to die to our natural personality. Because you know what? Even though I'm a very gentle person, I really am. My mom's here. I mean, my entire life, I'm not. I don't like to fight. I don't. I'll just get along. I mean, that's how I am, all right? You know what I'm saying? But you know, you push me hard enough and something ugly's going to come out. That's not God. That's me. Right? See, the gentleness by the fruit of the Holy Spirit will never die. You can push me as hard as you want. If that fruit is from God, it'll never go away. Is that right? Do you understand, church? It's not, do we need to be, again, this power, pow, yes. But there's got to be that same thing working in here. Does that make sense? So let's, a little bit more teaching here. Everybody good? The Greek word here used, let's all say it together, is what? Dunamis, right? Let's all say it. Dunamis, right? You guys have heard me. We teach a lot about dunamis power, right? So dunamis is the power that we're to be clothed or endued with, amen? And we get our English word dynamite from here. But so think about, if we think about this like dynamite, if you watch movies or something, you know, dynamite is like, we think of dynamite as destructive. Is that right? Like I'm going to blow something up. You know what I mean? Like anybody watch Goonies? You know, remember that movie Goonies, right? And was the guy, was Data? Was the Asian kid, right? He's like, look, I got candles. And everybody's like, no, this dynamite. Oh, and, you know, they throw it and it blows up, whatever, right? Dynamite is explosive and destructive. Can I get amen, church? But if you use dynamite properly, use explosives properly, they're actually constructive, not destructive. All right? You ever watch demo a building? I mean, again, it's still destructive, okay? But you demo a building to build a new one, right? And they wire this building just perfect so it doesn't explode and go this way. It implodes, right? It crumbles on itself. Can I get amen? If you go watch them like building a road or building a highway, right? And there's a big, huge mountain, okay? Now you could build that thing over the mountain, but then it's dangerous and it's all kinds of stuff. You could get in there with shovels and jackhammers and you'll spend months trying to move this thing. Or you get somebody who knows what they're doing and they go up on the top of the rock, they drill holes in it. Strategically, they pour a certain amount of explosive material down in that thing and then they light it off in sequence, and a pop, 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 and this huge piece of like 50 million ton piece of rock just goes and just falls off, right? And then they truck it away, right? See, dynamite, the dunamis power of God is destructive and explosive to the enemy, but God's using the same dunamis power in my soul to start chipping some stuff away. He says, I'm going to make some strategic drill holes in those hard places in your heart. I'm going to pour just the right amount of dunamis in there, and I'm going to light it off strategically. Boom, 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 and this big chunk of anger just melts away in my heart. Big chunk of envy melts away in my heart. Anybody ever experienced that? Hurts a little bit, but boy, it feels good after, doesn't it? Because you know James, man, it's one of those powerful verses in the entire book of James. James warns us about this. He says, you know, because where selfishness and envy exist, therein lies every confusion in every form of evil. He says, if you have selfish envy in your hearts, don't lie against the truth. Be honest. Yes, I'm selfish. I've got envy. I've got strife in my heart. Because if I confess it, God will come and heal me of it. Amen? Is this good, church? Here's a statement for you. For us. It's not just for you. There's a process between God choosing you and God using you. I'm going to say that one more time. If you're on my email, you got this, so this would be a good one to write down. There is a process between God choosing you and God using you. And what I'm saying here, what the Spirit of God is saying to us, church, is part of that process is changing our personality. He doesn't need your natural personality. As a matter of fact, if you're really walking in the anointing of God, that person, that new man in Christ is probably going to look a lot different than who you naturally are all by yourself. Amen. Good. The dunamis power of God poured out on the 120 in that upper room on the day of Pentecost was not only to walk in the miraculous power of God, what we consider demonstrations of power, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, prophecy, all this stuff that we flock to. Amen. Look on Facebook, find the latest prophetic conference, and people are flocking to it. Give me a word, Lord. Give me a word. What'd you do with the last word you got? Amen. I ain't looking at nobody, just saying. The promise, that pouring of the Holy Spirit, the power that we, that they were clothed with and that we have been clothed with, is also given to change the landscape in our own hearts, church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, there's no warning in the Bible, none, that says if I never, ever, 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 now I believe that I will, I have, and I believe that I will, and I will believe that I will, and you will see more of this. But if I never, ever lay hands on a sick person, they get better, that doesn't keep me from getting into heaven. Can I get amen? If I never cast a demon on somebody, that doesn't keep me from getting into heaven. Right? Now, I believe that we will. I believe I will. I believe you will. Can I get amen? Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? But Jesus does teach us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a foundational teaching from Jesus. Can I get amen, church? Because the last thing he says in the Sermon on the Mount is, he who hears these words of mine and does them and acts on them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The storms come, the house stands, right? The promise there is that, you know, two promises. If you do what I told you to do, it's going to stand up. And the second promise is there's a storm coming to test what you built. Paul says it like this: if any man builds on the foundation that's already been laid, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, that whatever he builds will be tested with fire. Amen. If what you built is built out of wood and hay and stubble, the fire will burn it up. In the end, that man will be saved, but what he built will be ruined. But if you built it out of gold, silver, and precious stones, the fire reveals the purity of what's been built, and you get a reward. Right? That's on me. How am I building it? That's my job. Can I get amen? Right? So Jesus says this, church, warning. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we have, look at all we've done for you and your name. We have prophesied. We have cast demons out. We've healed sick folks. Look at everything we've done. And Jesus says, I don't know you. What? Church, I don't know how else to interpret that or what else that means other than this. It means that if God is going to heal somebody, he's going to heal them. It doesn't matter if he uses you, me, a cat, a dog, or a donkey, all right? He's going to get it done. Can I get amen? If God's got a plan for somebody's life, it's going to happen, all right? Just because he uses you to get that plan over doesn't mean you're in a good spot with God. You might not be in a good spot with God. You just happen to be the vessel he gets a hold of to get it done. Because what Jesus is saying, when I look at your heart, I don't see my heart in there. You want the power, but you don't want to change. You want the dunamis so everybody can recognize you and your anointing, but you don't want to be like me. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? The power of God is not just to do what God says we're supposed to be able to do, but it's to be who we're supposed to be. It's to think the way God thinks. It's to look, my goodness, it's to look at this guy. I've known this guy a long time, and he drives me crazy frequently. He admitted it himself, church. Say it out loud on the mic.
He's a creeper.
Yeah, he's a creeper. There you go. He admits it himself, all right? But you know what? I've learned to love this guy, man, a lot. We get along. We don't get along great. We grind on each other, right? But I've learned to appreciate this guy. He's changed. I've changed. I've changed a little bit more, I think. I'm just kidding. Can I get amen, church? But see, this is the stuff, man. You look at churches in America are closing 1,000 a month, are the stats, church. 1,000 churches a month are closing in America. What? That's crazy. You know why they're closing? It's not just because they don't have the power to lay hands on sick folks. It's because they're denying the inner working power of the Holy Spirit to say, I love you and I'm sticking with you, all right? I'm not giving up on you. I'm not going to allow offense to rise up in my heart and say, come on, church, do you understand what I'm saying? I will not rise up against the authority in this house. I will not buck people. I will not allow this kind of stuff to creep into my heart. Can I get amen? Do you know that I did I shared this with most of y'all, but the Lord had me do, just look at how many people live within just the towns that touch Farmington, right? Because we look around like, okay, how come, you know, there's, we need a church, how many people are in church, whatever, right? The Lord had me do it, it was like January this year. All the towns, so just Farmington and every town that touches Farmington, 250,000 people. I'm like, why do I care how many folks are in a church up the street? We're not supposed to go there. That's sheep stealing, man. The sheep, they're already all right. Can I get amen? We're supposed to get out there, right? If they're already in a church, they're in a good spot. Hopefully, can I get amen? Right? But it's get out there. But what does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't say the world will know you're my disciples because you can cast demons out of people. The world will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. Your agapeo. I'm putting my hands to the plow. I am not just going to say, love you, bro. Cool. Psh, fist bump. Blow it up. See you next Sunday. Man, it's like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to put my own stuff aside. I'm going to plug into your life. I'm going to help you get something done, whether it's emotional help, if it's physical help, if it's financial help, whatever needs to go on, church. That's what Jesus said will show unbelievers that we know him. Right? This is one of the things that came on Pentecost. The power to do this. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Going to wrap up here in just a couple minutes. Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're new with us this morning, I'm very passionate about the Word of God, in case you couldn't tell. And I'm very passionate about teaching it accurately. I don't always do that, but I strive to do it. Amen. By God's grace. So, the reason I share that is it's super important. This letter, all these, the Bible was not written with chapters and verses. All right? None of that stuff's in the original text. So, even what we're going to read here, we're going to read the end of Ephesians 4 into Ephesians 5. Amen. When Paul wrote the letter, there's no chapter break. Right, because what we read it like Americans, we read chapter 4, we get all done. Okay, I'll read chapter 5 tomorrow. We lose the train of thought. We don't see there's a continuance. Can I get amen? I'll prove it to you in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Y'all there? Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. I could preach about an hour on that right there. Why do we have to speak the truth? Because we are members of one another. Well, I don't feel like I am. It doesn't say you feel like you are. It says that you are. Amen? Verse 26, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. All right? I don't think this is literally like every, you know, don't go to bed until you deal with whatever's going on, because sometimes you just can't. Can I get amen? But Paul's saying to us, look, if you don't get a handle on when you're angry, everybody gets angry. Can I get amen? It's not a sin to get angry. It's a sin to lose control of your anger. That's what gets you in trouble. That gives the devil an opportunity. That's what Paul says, right? If I just get angry, that's it. I got a right to be angry. I got a right to be offended. I got a right to, well, good luck, all right? Because the devil's going to have a field day with you, bro. Is that right? And your family and everything else you got. Amen. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have, so that, everybody say so that, so that he will have something to buy a new car with. Oh, my bad. So that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that, everybody say so that, it will give grace to those who hear. Look at that, church. The Greek word for unwholesome means rotten. That's the direct translation. Rotten words. Paul says, don't ever speak one. How many people already failed that one today? We're in church, don't lie. For sure. I mean, come on, man. It doesn't even matter. You know, Paul there says, don't do it. Okay? And you know what? Here's the point. That's impossible in your own strength. It's impossible. That's why the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, that dunamis power of God, is going to get in there and start busting that stuff up. Right? Doesn't say I can't get angry, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to allow, just because I'm angry, doesn't mean I got the right to tell you what's on my mind. Amen. Paul tells us, do not do it. Right? Do not, look at the next command, church. Do not grieve, everybody say grieve, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So look at, I've taught this before, but it's so powerful. If we back up, Paul's giving us such clear teaching here about how we grieve the Holy Spirit. People say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit or not. Read the Bible. It tells you what not to do, right? Speak the truth. So if you're lying to your neighbor, lying because we're members of one another, if you're lying to people, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, right? If you can't control your temper in verse 26, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you are not working and managing your finances well enough so it's not just about you, but you can help other folks, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you're speaking unwholesome words and cursing people and saying things that you shouldn't be saying, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Now he keeps going. It's like a don't grieve the Holy Spirit sandwich. Amen. Verse 31. Here's some more stuff. Let all, everybody say all, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Right? So there's six more things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six more things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Church, I've said it like 5 times this morning. That is impossible without the power of God. Isn't it? Let's keep reading. No chapter break. Therefore, do you see it? That word is there. It's a connecting word. There is no chapter break in Paul's letter. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in. Look at Paul's telling us how to do it. Do you understand, church? Walk in love, agape, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. How do we imitate God? Paul says, love your neighbor just as Christ loved you and gave himself up to the Father, a pleasing aroma. So what this says, church, when I allow the Spirit of God to get in my heart and start working that stuff out, and I start loving my brothers and sisters sacrificially, it wafts up to the nostrils of God as a pleasing aroma. And God says, man, I like that smell. I like that thing. You know, you ever smell, you ever, like, we had a cat one time, man, and we lost power at our house, and there was candles around, and the cat jumped up on the counter, was like, walking by, you know how they do, and whipped its tail through the candle, and it was like, poof, you know, and we didn't see it, you know, but then you're like, oh, man, what is that? It's just the most awful smell in the world, isn't it, church, right? You know, burning hair, you ever burn your skin real good, and a little waft of aroma comes out? It's just it's the worst smell in the world, except to God. God, in the Old Testament, church, describes burning flesh, because that's what they have to do. They have to cut a bull, blood everywhere, and burn it. And God says it's a pleasing aroma to me. So in the spirit, when we lay our flesh on the altar and allow it to get burned up, that thing wafts up to God as a pleasing aroma to him. Hurts so good. Oh, man, I'm good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should, buddy. I think that's a Christian song. I really do. Amen. Verse 3. But, we're almost done right here. But, immorality. So that Greek word, church, literally means sexual immorality. Sex outside of a heterosexual marriage. Immorality, or any impurity, or greed, must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I'll leave you guys with this. We're right on time. Don't look at the clock. It's right on time, I promise. There's a scripture, I almost reference it like officially, but I'm going to reference it anyway. There's a scripture in one of Paul's writings. It's in Colossians, I believe, where there's a section that never made sense to me for years. I might have shared this already, but just hang on because it's so good. And we're gonna pray in just a moment. But Paul says, he gives us this instruction. He says, if there's anything pure or anything noble or anything of good repute or anything trustworthy or anything of excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And for years I used to read that, and I'm just thinking, man, I always thought Paul was talking about, like, when we think about God, right? Like, if there's anything pure, like something in heaven. But those last two, if there's anything of excellence or anything worthy of praise, you're like, what do you mean, if there's anything excellent? He's not talking about God, because that's all God is excellent. He says, if there's anything worthy of praise, it's not God, because that's all God is worthy of praise, right? If we praised God with every breath we had for the rest of our lives, we wouldn't give God enough praise, right? So it was like maybe 6 months ago, church, I'm reading that again, and I just like, man, it was frustrating me because I couldn't. I'm like, I know I'm not catching this. So I, like I normally do, I'm a teacher, right? So I start backing up. What's in this letter? Who's Paul writing this letter to, right? So if you back up, like it's almost a full chapter, you got to back up. Paul highlights these two people in the church there. And I forget their names. It's like Cletus and I don't know, they're weird Bible names, whatever they are. But he highlights these two people. They might even be women. I don't know. It's kind of a weird names. But he says this. He's like, Bob, man, what a great guy Bob was. And Bob really blessed me, and he really helped me in the ministry. And Frank, he really blessed me as well. He was a great help. But Bob and Frank can't seem to get along with each other. And then if you read on down, Paul is talking about the issue. It's like, yes, you're a good brother, and you're a good sister, but this thing's got to stop. I love you, but this ain't all right. So then you get down to this section where Paul says, if there's anything pure or anything lovely or anything true or anything noble or anything of excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwelling, he's talking to these two people in the church that are both good brothers and sisters, but they can't get along with each other. He says, when you look at each other, you need to figure out that there is something good there. There is something noble. There is something worthy of praise. There is something excellent, because if all you find in that person is what's wrong, and all you find is they do this and they do that and they dress, I can't stand that shirt they wear every single week, man. Go to Walmart and buy another shirt. You're driving me crazy. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? I'm trying to be a little funny, keep it light. But that's what Paul's dealing with. He says, look, it, a lack of laying hands on sick folks won't destroy a church. That stuff will. That's what'll destroy a church. Gossip, murmuring, strife, jealousy, envy, competition, that's the cancer that'll kill a church. That's the stuff that the Holy Ghost came down on Pentecost to deal with. Is that good? Let's stand to our feet. I have a prayer written down here so it keeps me behaving myself. Let's raise our hands to the Lord, everybody. Close your eyes. I just want you to pray this in your heart with me. I'll read it slow. Amen. Because, Father, we want this, Lord. Help us, Father. Church, it's easy to lay hands on sick people. That ain't hard. It's hard to love people that are grinding on you. Amen. We need the power of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we come and ask for your grace to be multiplied to us, and that our hearts, our ears, and our eyes would be open to the truth of the scriptures. We want to walk in the demonstration of the miraculous. We know that we have been given authority over demons and darkness and every manner of sickness. But we also pray that we would recognize your calling and mandate that has been given to us to build up the body of Christ. Your calling to walk on the earth as those who love to imitate you. Paul says, be therefore imitators of God. So Lord, we want to be imitators of God this morning. Walking in love, just like Christ showed us how to do it. So Lord, we thank you for that. Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Oh, yes. So I forgot, tithes and offerings. So please come this morning. And again, guys, if you'd like to bless and assist the McCarthy situation, that's above and beyond your tithes and offerings. Or you can find the link on their Facebook page to donate directly to them. Amen.